The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department of Dominican University of California. As a cancer survivor, let me offer you a little piece of advice. Don't get cancer. If you decide to be a rebel and get cancer anyway, you might be wondering what you can expect on your cancer journey. Well, in this series, I will be breaking down what is fact and what is fiction when it comes to the typical cancer experience. This is Cancer Culture. Welcome back to another episode of Cancer Culture. So something that a lot of people don't realize is a huge part of the sort of cancer recovery process is diet. Right off the bat, when I was reading The Fault in Our Stars, I knew it would be an accurate look at having cancer when Hazel Grace had made a passing remark on cancer diets, because you wouldn't think going into this that a lot of people have a lot to say on diets, but they do. And I don't know if it's just because I live in the Bay Area, where a lot of people are sort of these self-made health gurus, where a lot of people pay a lot of attention to what they eat, but everybody seems to have a different suggestion for what you should eat when recovering from cancer. Commonly, a lot of people in this day and age are recommended to either go vegetarian or vegan, just because some of the red meats have carcinogens in them, and also meat can be something of an inflammatory. So your lymph nodes, when you eat meat, can sometimes become inflamed as a result. And, you know, when you're processing cancer, you don't really want your lymph nodes to be swelled any. Yeah, I had a lot of judgment when I tell people right off the bat that I'm vegan. But then, you know, I explain, well, it's because I had cancer. And then people feel real bad for being mean. So I've actually picked up a new cancer book. Ooh. Someone other than Miriam Engelberg or Marissa Acocella-Marchetto. I know, it's crazy. It's called Fighting Cancer, and it's by Annette and Richard Block. Richard is actually the R in the H and R Block. This is a write-up on Richard Block on the Richard and Annette Block Family Foundation website. On his flight home in 1980, after his doctor declared him cancer-free, Dick decided to dedicate the rest of his life to helping people with cancer. The big questions were where and how. Richard and Annette Block are also the authors of Fighting Cancer with a Positive Mental Attitude and Cancer, There's Hope, which I'm not sure if I have Fighting Cancer with a Positive Mental Attitude. The book I have is just called Fighting Cancer. I guess I don't get to be positive. So this is how Fighting Cancer by Annette and Richard Block sort of describes itself from its dedication. We trust this book will provide you with the knowledge, hope, inspiration, and desire to successfully fight your disease. We know everyone cannot beat cancer. If this book helps just one person overcome their problem, all our efforts will be worthwhile. Maybe that one person can be you. Apparently this book was free, according to its foreword. Let me read this to you. This book is available to you without charge, with the belief that it offers you methods to improve the quality of your life and increase your chances of successfully fighting cancer. I had to pay for this book. I don't think it was very much, but I still had to pay. And I am a college student. We are not infamous for having very expendable funds. So, frick you, Richard Block. This book has a lot of different advice. However, today we are just going to be focusing on diet. According to the book, food cannot cure cancer. nutrition plays an important role in prevention and treatment. So this is giving advice not on how to cure cancer, but how to recover best from cancer. This book claims a healthy diet is important to keep a patient healthy enough for their treatment. Each patient will be recommended a specific diet. A patient may need more fat if they've lost a lot of weight. Some patients may just need to take in more calories. It states, you know, certain treatments may make people so sick that they lose an incredible amount of weight. So for them, it's recommended that they just eat ice cream and drink soda and just get any calories that they possibly can. The most important thing, according to the book, is to maintain the patient's weight. Here's a quote from the book. The Food and Nutrition Board of the National Research Council in 1980 publication entitled Toward Healing Diets stated, sound nutrition is not a panacea. Good food that provides appropriate proportions of nutrients should not be regarded as a poison, a medicine, or a talisman. It should be eaten and enjoyed. What upset many was the board's conclusion that there was no specific dietary advice appropriate for all. This is a quote from Dr. Richard Rivlin, who is chief of nutrition services at the Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. Nutrition is an important adjunct to any treatment plan, one that has often not been utilized enough, but nutrition should not be expected to do the job entirely on its own. Something that this book talks about too is patients who will do something called mega dosing with certain vitamins. So that just essentially means what it sounds like. They'll just take a huge amount of these vitamins. And it's interesting. I found kind of the themes of people being told like, yeah, this should be good or this should be okay for you. And then taking that way too closely to heart and overdoing whatever that recommendation was. However, you know, many view diet managing as the only part of their treatment that they have control over, which I understand. I understand very much what that feels like. To be in a sort of position where you have no control and just needing to take control of something. And what you eat is something you can take control of, so that's what you take control of. Coming up, we're going to be talking a little bit about what it's like to be vegan and be on a school campus and have to adhere to a meal plan. I guess my tone might act as a little bit of foreshadowing for what that's like coming up on Cancer Culture. Welcome back to Cancer Culture. So with me today, I have expert on being vegan, Erin Bostrom. I talked a little bit in our first half about what being vegan does for cancer. And I just kind of wanted to talk with Erin about what it's like to be vegan and implementing that in your day-to-day life, what we eat. What do you eat? No, it sounds like weird for me to be all like what do you even eat? But I mean, you know, it is kind of hard, especially in college, like finding a good, consistent place to find vegan meals.
For sure.
Yeah, what's your experience been like with that?
My experience, especially living on campus, has been not the most positive. It's not super accommodating, especially at a small school like this where there's just one dining hall option and then they have like the little grill in the back. But so if you want any sort of variation, it's not really the place to go. There's usually one plant-based meal a day. That's not always the best. So it's not like you can get like the salad bar, but it's like, I don't want to just eat the salad bar. So I have found ways to make a lot of stuff myself in my dorm with like microwavable foods, which is not the best. Or I eat a lot of Chipotle and other local spots, you know? Chipotle, yeah. The local spot.
Yeah, yeah. You know, yeah. Those great San Rafael eateries.
San Rafael eateries. There's definitely a few good ones, but not on campus.
Yeah, that's what I found too, because consistently for a while they had Beyond Burgers at the Grill.
Mm-hmm.
And that was usually my go-to just because I knew that would always be there. However, for some reason they've stopped carrying them.
I love that.
Yeah, love that. And the buns are always so weird for their burgers.
I've never even had a burger
from there. They like make the buns themselves.
Of course.
And they fall apart.
And they're not good. Yeah, it's like, I feel like homemade buns, like, you have to really know what you're doing. Because if they're worse than store-bought buns, you're just wasting your time.
Yeah, just get the tortoroles from
They're so good.
Costco. Yeah. Yeah.
I would eat those plain.
Yeah. Oh, just with some butter?
Yeah.
Or Earth Balance.
Earth Balance, yeah.
The Mykonos. Vegan case might be.
Yeah.
You mentioned a little bit about vegan foods that you make in your dorm room. What's your usual go-to?
Yeah, my big go-to is like a rice and bean variation. One, because it is like a complete protein. Second, because it's super easy. I usually use canned beans, which are like 85 cents per can of bean. Mm-hmm. And so you can definitely, it's definitely an affordable option. You get like 4 or 5 meals out of each can, more like 4. And then usually I buy those like little frozen rice packets that you can microwave.
Yeah.
And a lot of places have vegetables that are like microwave steamable. Sounds so appealing. Mm-hmm. And then I always add something like avocado and sriracha. And my new thing is adding tahini onto things.
Ooh.
So good. It makes it so you're like, oh, I would probably pay money for this. And in total, if you like break it down, that it's like less than $1.50 per meal. So it is also an affordable option, more so than eating out, especially in this like Marin County area. Mm-hmm. A lot of places that are like vegan restaurant specific health foods are so expensive that it's really hard being like a college student trying to afford, you know, a $19 salad.
Yeah. I mean, I have found a lot of places have kind of diversified what they have.
Mm-hmm.
I know Burger King has the Impossible Whopper.
Yeah. Which is so good. Have you had it?
It's so freaking good.
So good. I could eat it all the time.
Yes. And I know Habit just got starting to offer like 2 new Impossible Burger options. One of them has cheese and you have to order it with cheese, which is super weird.
That is super weird.
But the other one you can order without cheese. So I usually go there. I don't go inside for because there have been creepy men there before. So
love that.
Yeah, love that for me.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, I do curbside pickup and then I'm just like,
straight
like
out of there.
Yeah.
No, thank you. No men.
Don't talk to me. Yeah, there's the Impossible Whopper, there's Habit, just now has Impossible Burgers, and then Chipotle, but yeah, Chipotle can kind of get expensive.
Yeah, if you get like the from my expertise of Chipotle, if you get a veggie bowl, not like with the sofritas, mm-hmm. guac is free. So otherwise you're paying like $2.50 for guac.
A little hack there.
Yeah. So
thank you for your meal advice.
Yeah.
I need to stock up on my beans now.
Yeah, they're so good.
I also got I don't know if you see that can there. It's
Oh, is it the, what's that brand?
Daiya,
yeah.
It's the Daiya biff stew, because they're
it's BE'F.
Yeah, it's not actual beef.
Yeah.
It's
biff. I have actually that brand, the like Italian wedding style soup that I haven't Ooh. Tried yet. I'm curious about it.
Because the biff's been good.
It's been good.
Yeah, they're like, Daiya is usually pretty spot on. I mean,
their cheese is questionable.
Yeah. I mean, any vegan cheese is pretty questionable.
That's true.
No, Oreos are vegan. Most Pop-Tarts are vegan. Sour Patch Kids are vegan.
Yeah, which is crazy that they... Whoa, sorry, I bumped my thing. Crazy that they don't have gelatin in them.
Yeah, I would have totally assumed, and yeah, I think a lot of people do.
Yeah, like a gummy candy. Interesting.
Well, thank you, Erin.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me.
If people want to learn more about being vegan, what can they check you out on?
They can go check out my podcast. It's called Eat Your Greens, and it is available on Penguin Radio's website, same place where you went to find this one. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so. I heard you have an Instagram.
Oh, I
now?
Do. Yeah, it's EYG_vegangrub. And it's where I post more restaurants that you should try and recipes that I have made, college friendly stuff. So yeah, check that out if you are interested.
No, I'll for sure have to check that out, because the dining hall has been disappointing to me. All right, well, thank you so much, Erin.
Of course, anytime.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Cancer Culture. The intro music is Happy Hour by Ditto Master. You can find the full version of this song and more of his work on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify. This podcast has been created by the students of the Communication and Media Studies Department of the Dominican University of California and is intended for the private, non-commercial use of our audience. You can find this podcast and other students' work on radio.dominican.edu. Goodbye. Ops. I can't do it.